Well, hello everyone. Welcome to our weekly Q&A call here for October 8th. It's good to be here. I was just checking to see if there were any pre-submitted questions. I didn't see any. And in fact, I only see Deb logged in or dialed in. So I'm sure some of you will be here joining us in a minute. If you're catching the replay, if you haven't been to the call, and a week or two, if it's been intermittent. So I encourage you to get back in the habit. This is an important session, guys. And, you know, even if you don't have specific questions of your own, there's a very important accountability element just to know that, hey, we got a group call every Thursday, 1 p.m. It's good for you. You'll learn from other people's questions. As you listen to the discussion, questions will come up of your own, which you can ask. We can address concerns. It's just it's really an important part of this program. So I want to, without sounding like, you know, like a high school principal, everyone needs to be here. And there are exceptions. I get that. Things happen, doctor's appointments, you know, unexpected emergencies. But, you know, you made a commitment to yourself in this program. You made a huge time, financial commitment. You need to honor that for yourself, you know, and I want to see you succeed. So just, make it a point to start coming back and make it a commitment that this is something you're going to be attending every week, unless something really, really important comes up, you have an immediate deadline, whatever. So anyway, that's the end of my lecture. All right, so because there were no pre-submitted questions, I'll go ahead and just open it up. Guys, this is your forum. So any questions, comments, feedback, anything you want to talk about, hit star 2. That raises your hand, and I'll go ahead and unmute you. And I see Cynthia's on, and it's Deb. So it's just Cynthia and Deb. I don't know where. Just talked to Karen yesterday. Anyway. All right. Hey, Cynthia, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing really well. Thank you.
I just got a text from Karen, and they're making their seasonal migration from Colorado down to Arizona. She is in an RV right now,
That's
making
right.
that trip. So she texted me. She said she might have told you that, but that she wanted to remind you that she's in her RV and won't be on the call today.
Yeah, that's cool. I thought it was, you know what? I'm not sure if she told me, but now you just reminded me that. So thanks for the update. Lorraine was going to be driving to Boston, I think, today. So she was going to try to listen in, but she said it could go either way. So, yeah, it looks like two of you are traveling. So, yeah, thanks for that, Cynthia.
Sure.
All right. So, and Jennifer just joined. Awesome. All right. So you got Jennifer, Cynthia, Deb. Let's do this. So I like what we started doing a couple weeks ago, just kind of going around the room and just sharing what I like to call your win of the week. Now, to be clear, win of the week doesn't mean, hey, I landed this, you know, whale of a client. No, just it could be something as simple as, you know what? This thing finally clicked in my head, like this particular thing I was having trouble with. I just feel great. Now I'm making progress. I feel like I can move forward now on this thing. Or, you know, I feel really good about this headline that I came up with for my homepage, anything like that. So anyway, I'll just go randomly around the room, if you will. And I'll start with Deb. Hey, Deb, how are you?
Hey, Ed. I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Can you hear my dog barking?
Not really. I wouldn't have noticed it if you hadn't said it.
She's crazy.
Hi, Cynthia. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey.
So, I'm in a good mood because the weather is beautiful here and lovely in North Carolina. And as for my week, it's been, you know, small off, lowercase a off. I have a lot of clarity now with my position, and I am say a good 75% done with my website now, with a lot of clarity with positioning. And God willing, my website will go live next week. Wish me my position good. One of my friends pointed out this morning that Deb, there's a new PF Chang's restaurant opening down the street, and it took them less time to build that building than it's taken you with your website. And I'm like, hey, thanks. But it's totally right. It's totally right. But the big hang up was confidence and positioning. So now I feel like next week might just be the magic week that I'm going to take this live. And then other connection stuff will start happening too. So I'm just very grateful for the clarity.
Excellent. Oh, that's great. Isn't it cathartic to finally just kind of have that done?
Oh, you have no idea. No idea. But, it's just like, but the other flip side of this experience is that when my website goes live, I will not only have a live website, but I'll also be able to, with a fair amount of confidence, say that, okay, I can handle basic website stuff, basic website lingo, in a conversation with other people instead of coming off and feeling like a pig. So, that's huge. And I also learned how to find stock photos and place stock photos in a basic website layout. And that skill will more likely than not transfer to blogging and email marketing and stuff. And if you knew what a Luddite I have been going into this, you'd see what a huge deal this is for me. So, woohoo!
Great. Great. Well, congratulations. Big step.
Thank you.
Big
Thank
step.
You.
Can't wait to see it.
You and me both.
Awesome. And then we'll celebrate at P.F. Chang's.
Yes, of course.
There you go. Fantastic. Well, great. Thanks for that update, Deb. Let's see here. Oh, hold on. My dashboard is stuck. Yes, bear with me for a second. Come on now. You know, my internet has been very spotty today. All right. Let's see. Cynthia, back with you.
Hello.
There you go.
So I've followed up with some clients and, sent some emails and finishing some projects, and they're looking for other stuff and, blah, blah, blah. But I did, if I could just take a couple minutes, I have something I would like to kind of bounce off of you.
Sure.
So now I can talk about this consulting client, Cardinal Health here, which is a $100 billion pharmaceutical company, 6 months ago decided to move into the medical device industry by trying to acquire a $2 billion division of Johnson & Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me and said, could you help with internal, external communications, onboarding of employees, with all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. So that's what I've been doing for the last 6 months for them.
Okay.
And that acquisition closed this past weekend. So they were able to acquire it. It was kind of an extraordinary thing to get it all on board. And we finished, and there's great happiness in the land. When we talked about this project, that was the project. There's never been any, talk of other work or, jobs or anything like that. It was just this project. And now we're winding down on that. And this afternoon, it's about 5 o'clock today, they are on the company site, on the company campus, they're going to have a big celebration and, you know, like a two-hour reception and backslapping and everyone happy that this we managed to pull all of this off.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been off-site, obviously, working from home. I've talked with a lot of these people on the phone and on email, but I haven't met them, so I'm looking forward to going and meeting them. But one of the people that I'm going to be meeting, because I checked to make sure she was there, is the Vice President of Corporate Communications over all of this. And I've met her before, and I really like her, and she likes me. We have kind of a connection. And I want to be able to find out what's next without just, like, overtly doing that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be able to, you know, have my little drink and maneuver it to a point where eventually she and I are maybe, like, sitting at a table. I mean, I know how to do all that. It's fine to kind of have this conversation. And I've had it before, but I just thought, you know what, I'm going to run this by you in terms of letting her know I can do a lot of other things and I can help, but, you know, without coming right out and saying, so.
Yeah, what you got for me? What can I, yeah.
Right, without this kind of, you know, desperate whatever, which I'm not. I don't want to do that. I just would like kind of how to kind of maybe open this conversation to be, you know, I don't want to beat around the bush either. So if there's nothing there, there's nothing there. It's fine. But, you know, I don't want to be coy. I don't want to, you know, but I don't want to really come on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I thought we could talk about this for a minute.
Great question. What I like to do, and by the way, I welcome anyone here in the group to chime in as well. What I like to do in situations like that is I like to think about it first. And this is just human nature. If you tell someone, hey, I can help you with stuff, or if I can help you with anything, just let me know. That is so vague, and I know that's kind of an extreme situation, but
right.
Many of us do this, that you don't give me something to hang on to.
Okay.
For instance, if I got a handyman who puts a ceiling fan up for me and says, yeah, great. Listen, by the way, Ed, if I can ever help you with anything around the house, just let me know. I can't think of something at that point. But if he were to say, and let's say he looked around while he was here and he realized that there's, like, my bathroom right now, it's, like, half painted. Not even half painted. I just got some samples to see if the paint would work there and different walls. But it's been a year and I haven't painted it. It looks so ghetto in there. If he noticed that, he could say, listen, Ed, if I could ever help you around the house, for instance, you know, do some painting. You know, I saw in your bathroom, for instance, that you had some swatches, and then you were giving me something. So
okay.
Where I'm going with that is if you happen to know, based on your work there, that there is probably a good chance that, you know, with A, B, or C, they're going to need some help on that or with that, then
right.
Those are the things I would mention. And I would say, listen, Becky, I really enjoyed working with you guys. Listen, if there's anything I can do to help you, and I would throw two things, especially in the, you know, maybe with A or B or C in these areas,
okay.
Please let me know. The other thing you can incorporate into that is I'm actually looking, I have room for a new client, or I have an opening. Make it sound like, you know what, I actually, right now I'm kind of looking because I have availability. I'm looking for a very strategic client right now. You got to make it sound, because it's true, like you're picky. You're not just
okay.
Looking for the phone to ring. You're not just looking
right.
For anyone. Listen, I've worked with you guys for a while. I really like you. I would like to do some more work with you. And right now I have room for another client. If there's anything I can help you with, especially in the areas of A, B, and C, or maybe some others, let me know. But you've thrown two or three different ideas there.
Okay.
And compounded it with this professional, hey, I got room for one new client today. How does that strike you? Do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. I'll do
and
that.
It doesn't sound desperate, you know. It doesn't sound
right.
Like, oh, my gosh, I really need it. You guys give me all this work, and now you drop me. Yeah.
Well, that's because that's the other part of it. You know, it was such a steep learning curve, both in terms of just the overall project, you know, acquisition and global communications, because we were communicating with 50 countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on calls with Switzerland and China and Japan and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so there was a steep learning curve with all of that, and also at the same time learning their corporate culture, which I have, you know, done quite a bit of, and I've started to build relationships with a lot of these people, and, you know, I just hate to see that all go by the wayside.
You know, and it might not be a bad idea to kind of throw that in there. Like, as you know, you're a more valuable asset for a client the longer you've been with them.
Right.
Which is counterintuitive. You think, oh, no, you know, it's they're going to look for somebody else. No, you're too valuable. It would take too long to get somebody started from scratch and have them go through that learning curve. So maybe kind of sprinkling that idea in there. You know, I feel like I've learned a lot about what you guys are doing. I understand what you're trying to accomplish, yada, yada, yada. Therefore, if you ever need help with A, B, or C, just to remind them.
Okay. I'll do that.
Less hand-holding. Less hand-holding is key.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and it's, you know, there's just not a lot of that running around here. You know, I mean, it's very specialized, the medical device industry and healthcare, and, you know, it's not like they've got 30 people who can do all this.
Yeah, yeah. And even if they brought somebody else on board, that's you got to teach them from scratch.
Right. Okay, I'll give it a shot, and I'll report back next week and let you know how
it
went.
Please do.
Okay.
Let us know.
Great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right. So let's see. Jennifer is the next lucky contestant. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. What's cooking with you?
Like Deb, I'm enjoying the North Carolina weather today after about 2 weeks of rain, it seems like.
Oh, God, yeah.
You guys have had a lot, too, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. It was 10 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was weird to see the sun again. I mean, it's been a while. We've had that much, like, days without sun.
I know. I've got my webpage live.
Yay!
So, I guess I'm happy with it. It's really simple. And I know you said that's what we want, but I'm just afraid it's too simple.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up, and... I think, I mean, it looks fine, I think. So now I got to, I guess, start writing the emails.
Yeah, it's if it's up, it's got your basic message out there, and it's, you know, again, mm-hmm. keeping in mind it's going to continue to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you're doing what you're supposed to do. Absolutely.
Quick question. Do I need a separate phone line for the business as opposed to my home?
You know, in terms of, it's not necessarily a need question. It's really more of what do you prefer? The one thing I would not do is use your home number. So let me rephrase that. The answer is yes. The question is, do you use your cell phone or something like that, or do you just try to get a separate, like, real line? I would not use an answering machine at home, voicemail, that says, hey, you've reached, you know, the Ultzes, and then you got your kids talking, and then the dog is barking, right, like that kind of thing. Oh, and by the way, if you're calling me about copywriting services, some people have done that. It's just not professional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you have you thought about options? Because there's a few out there.
No, I was just kind of thinking about getting a second line, a regular second line to my house. I've got, it's through the cable company now.
Yeah.
So I can add a second a second line to it.
You know, it's pretty cheap these days. If you get just basic, I mean, when you think about it, you don't need all the gadgets. You don't need the the bells and whistles like the call waiting and.
Right.
I would get voicemail on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know over here it's like $5 extra, but I think I can get, I can add a line for like $20.
Okay.
If I strip it of all the bells and whistles.
Right.
The other thing you can do is some people will use their cell phone. That's a preference thing. I don't like it for two reasons. I've never lived anywhere where I have really strong, reliable signal.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give my cell phone to everybody.
Right.
You know, my wife is calling me. It's like only a handful of full of people have my cell phone. I don't want it out there in the world.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah.
The other option is get something like a Magic Jack? You can get something for like $5 a month. I'm not sure how those work. It's voice over IP,
uh-huh.
And you get this little device, and it hooks up to the internet. Or you could get a Skype number, or you can get like a Google number, which I think is free still. But I don't know, and I'm more of a, it's called a Google Voice. I'm more of a landline person. I just like the reliability.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Well, hey, congrats on getting the site done. Did you post it on the forum? I don't think I saw you post it on the forum.
No. Do you want me to?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And I encourage everyone, many of you have already done it, but it's just good to show everyone your work, and some people might have some feedback.
Okay.
So
we'll do that.
Great. All right, and hey, here's Lorraine. I know Lorraine's traveling. Hey, Lorraine, you still on the road?
I'm ashamed to say I haven't even left yet.
You sound like me when I'm traveling.
Yeah, no, I'm actually editing. I was about to leave, and then I checked my email, mistake number one, and a manual that I did earlier in the week for a client has a new addendum that they want to add in, and, of course, it needs to be edited so to match the style of everything else. So I'm going through that now, and then I'm going to go. So I can't feel too bad. At least I'm making money, and I'm not getting it. You know, I'm not on the road, but I am making money.
Yeah, you're not watching Netflix.
No, or doing something that is just unproductive. But
yeah. Well, we're just going around the room doing, wins of the week, which, again, just mean it doesn't have to be an incredible win. It just could be something you feel good about, an insight you had, something that's now clicking, anything.
Well, I don't know if it's a win yet, but I am part of a proposal with a designer that I know to do a whole rebranding for a community that offers the entire spectrum of senior care in terms of independent living all the way to nursing home care.
Uh-huh.
So that would be fun, you know, to really just work on the freshening up their brand and creating new ads and print pieces, possibly some TV down the road, but not sure. So hopefully the word comes in on that soon.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a designer you've worked with before on other client projects?
Yeah, this is the designer I like to partner with for print. And she's the one who did my logo for the Four Cats.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's very – she's got a lot of – we kind of balance each other out because she has a lot of large ad agency experience. So we work well together in terms of concepting and just coming up with ideas. you know, taking people to a nicer level. So I enjoy working with her in terms of the creative process. Yeah.
Oh, great.
So
great. You know, it's the whole designer partnership thing is I think underrated in terms of the possibilities there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with Peter Bowerman, the well-fed writer.
No.
So Peter, gosh, he's been freelancing for since the mid-90s, early 90s. And he built his whole business. He's been very successful on partnering with a couple of, well, it's been more than that, but there have been two that he's been with since the very beginning, and they've just formed a partnership. It's not that they do all their work together, but he's very comfortable offering a package to his clients, and his designer partners are very comfortable offering a package as well that includes copy. And they've just developed a really good, solid relationship. They know each other very well and how they work. And
mm-hmm.
anyway, it's you know, it's kept them from it. Just his business comes to him. You know, of course,
mm-hmm.
at that point, you know, a lot should start coming to you. But because of that, he's done really, really well.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's nice because to partner with designers because they have their whole network. I mean, so really you're kind of exposed to a whole other network of people that you may not know. And
exactly.
Yeah, the job goes through them. So they, you know, like I'll bill my, well, I don't know. This is a nonprofit, so I might not bill through my client or my contact. But it's just, you know, actually she is one of my connectors and or helping hands. I had lunch with her a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, you've got to know a ton of people, given the agencies you've worked at and the clients you've worked on. So we're actually, that's part of my list, is to sit down with her and say, how could we both benefit from knocking on some new doors? You know,
yeah.
Not just getting work for me, it would be for her too. So here's hoping.
Great. Well, keep us posted. Fingers crossed for you.
Thank you.
Hey, and safe travels, too, if we don't talk. But.
Yes, thank you.
All right. So, good updates. Good stuff. So if you got a question, again, star 2 on your telephone keypad raises your hand. It can be question, comment, anything. Hey, Cynthia, you're on.
So I was reading through the assignment this week, and one of the things I would like to talk about is the hourly rate.
Yeah.
So I'm with you in that I like to charge by the project. The hourly thing can be really problematic, and yet I'm finding, it's kind of curious, that I'm finding more and more that clients want to pay hourly,
mm-hmm.
Particularly when they're like more long-term assignments, not just like one or two projects. And so, I've done that reluctantly sometimes. I would like to not do that, but I don't know, it just seems like more and more I'm getting more clients that's how they want to do that.
Okay. Now, when they want to do that, Are they explaining why? Because obviously you're proposing somebody else, something else,
yes.
But then they're saying, no, we want to do this.
So,
they
so it's
why.
Either a long-term contract. So like in
uh-huh.
this case, this contract I'm just finishing up because it was so long-term.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
And sporadic, you know. This wasn't a project. It was a thing that went on. And so that's how we broke it down, and I was going to give them so many hours a week to do stuff and things like that. I recently had somebody call me, and I don't know if we're going to end up working together or not, but he has a very busy shop where he's got big stuff and little stuff. So he's got like maybe the big project, and then he said, I'm going to flip something to you that I need you to spend 15 minutes editing.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot right back to me. And so he said they just have a policy where, you know, they don't $3,000 for this project, but, you know, a bunch of these little edits is $1,000. He said, we just don't do that. We've worked with freelancers in the past, and we just now put people on hourly, and no matter what the size of the project or the complexity, you just get a flat hourly rate. And that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
And so I said to him, you know, that's not really how I can work, because to be paid the same to do some really complex project and then do some editing I could do some big, huge project for you that could, you know, take weeks that would really, I would charge thousands of dollars and in an hourly rate could, you know, end up being a couple thousand, and that's just not going to work for me, which is why I'm saying we may not work together. But when that situation came up like that, and I've noticed it a little bit more, that, you know, it's a big win for them, I think, because it's just clean. You know, they don't really think about the complexity in the projects. It's just, oh, you spent five hours today, you know, give her $500 and let's move on.
But it's interesting, though, because I'm sure they still want to get an idea of how long it's going to take you. So they know your hourly rate, right, because they've given it to you.
Right.
Unless it's a really, really simple job, which they can figure, hey, maybe an hour or two. If they're going to give you something a decent size, they're going to also want to know roughly how long it's going to take.
Right.
Right? So,
right.
You know, what's interesting to me about the whole hourly thing, and I understand why clients say that, so I'm not questioning you. I'm just questioning the logic is they're still going to want to know how many hours. So in other words, they're still going to end up with a flat fee or final price.
Right.
You know, it's really to their benefit to go flat fee because there's no surprises.
Well, that's what I told him. And he said, well, the problem is that things just crop up.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you know, we're going to be working, and then all of a sudden somebody will email me and say, here's this, and we need to do this, and they want it posted, and I need to be able to flip it to you and do and write that instant and, you know, flip it back. And that's also a problem for me because I can't be available like that.
Yeah, it's like you're a short order cook at that point.
Right, right.
And so two things. First of all, we all need to accept, because listen, you're struggling with something we all struggle with. All of us need to accept the fact that, look, it's not going to work out for everybody, right? Some clients, like this one, they have their reasons. That's, you're not going to change your beliefs in
right.
the way they do things, right? And that is what it is. And guess what? Sometimes we have to work with clients like that. You're transitioning right now, Cynthia, right? So you may have to say yes right now. Until
right.
you're able to replace those kinds of people with better clients.
Okay.
So that's one thing. Second of all, I mean, this is kind of a smaller thing, but the way I've solved those kinds of things, you know, where I've become more of a helper, like an order taker, hey, I need something really quick. By the way, I'm fine with that many times if it's the right client. But what I've instituted is a minimum. Like, I won't touch anything for less than $250. So even it's a
okay.
I got a client. One of my I told you guys I've kept two clients essentially, and they're both fairly small, but I've been working with them forever. One of them, you know, the other day he contacted me. Hey, can you edit this for me? And it's some email he was sending to some partners, alliance partners, and he knows I'm going to charge him $250. It's one page to edit, but he can't write. You know.
Okay.
So, you know, he knows, he doesn't know anybody else he can send it to. He and I have been working together for ages. It's going to be $250. Now, occasionally, if it's like really small, if it's like, hey, should I use this word or that word, or if it's like four sentences, I'll just do it and don't even bill him. But,
okay.
you know, anything else, I just have a minimum, $250. And that eliminates this whole 15-minute increment thing, which can be a real pain because you have to put it into your schedule, right? You still have to kind of get into the project,
Well, you do it. This little thing can take an hour. I mean, by the time they explain what it is and you open it up and you get the document and, you know, you do the edits, you double check, and
I know. And then I'm embarrassed to tell the client, hey, listen, it ended up being 2 hours. What? So that way I get away from, there's always going to be a minimum, and I get away from this questioning me about my, you know, the time I took. Because those little projects, you're right, can be like a time suck. You're just reading and going, what are they trying to do? So you go back and forth and you're asking questions. Before you know it, it's been an hour and a half.
Right.
So that's the other thing. I think that could be a temporary solution. Maybe not with this client because they're already used to doing it this other way with you. But if you come across it in the future and, you know, you don't want to say no and fire them, then this might be an alternative. The other case you mentioned with a huge contract, that's another example. Sometimes you're not going to be able to get away from that. I mean, sometimes there's just no other way. I think there's some creative ways around that, but many of those clients, especially their really big companies, are not going to be as open to a creative arrangement.
Yeah, they weren't.
You know,
we can talk about it, by the way.
Yeah, but I got some very specific suggestions for you guys on retainer agreements. I don't cover that in this class just because, you know, we've all come back to fundamentals here. But if you guys ever come across a situation like that, please let me know. I can definitely give you some good material and have a call with you that will help you craft an awesome retainer agreement. That's going to be a win for you, a win for the client. It lowers the risk for both parties. It's not going to work for every situation. It doesn't work for those where they're just chaotic, where they just don't even know what they have under the hood. And you're just going in there, and it's kind of like, you know, you go move as you go.
Right.
Or bill as you go. But if you can get a client who's willing to sit down with you and try to at least define somewhat of a scope of deliverables, then the method that I've been using works really, really well. In fact, a student from the last B2B launcher class, he had that situation come up. Like a client he'd just done a few projects with suddenly approached him about a retainer agreement. He and I worked together with this approach. It's crazy. He ended up with an 18-month retainer agreement, and I want to say it was $4,000 a month.
Wow.
It was insane. The guy was just starting out. That's unusual, but I know for a fact that if he had not used this approach, it would have been a disaster.
Okay.
It just wouldn't have worked out.
So
I don't know if I gave you an answer. I think it's sometimes it's just going to be the way it is, Cynthia.
Right.
And I'd still try with some clients. You'll know which clients are just being silly. And you just have to tell them, listen, I don't work that way. Here's where I work. Here's why. Here's the benefit to you.
That's the other issue for them, you know, and of course you know, one has real integrity around this whole process, but because I'm so skilled, the hourly agreement punishes me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line for me. It just is. Because I'm so skilled and I've been doing this for so long, in many cases, I can finish things anybody else could do in half the time. Well, why is that fun for me? You know,
and
so a project that would normally be $3,000, if we do hourly and I can finish it up, I get $1,500. I mean, I'm not interested in that, to be kind of, you know, punished for being highly skilled and knowing my stuff around all of this. That goes in the wrong direction for me.
I even kind of mentioned that to the client because I want to see their reaction to it. Here's what I've noticed. If a client has a problem with that, in other words, if they feel, oh, it's unfair to us then, you're just trying to make more money, that tells me that's probably not going to be a good client. In fact, I know it's not going to be. The question is whether or not I want to take them because I need them right now.
Right.
Or no. Because someone who's got that kind of mindset is just not going to work out. You know, like they're just – it doesn't cost them. It's not going to hurt them anymore. And they're just thinking they just don't want me to make more money.
Okay.
But if that's their mindset, then they're never going to attract and keep good people. the people they're going to attract are just going to keep leaving because they, you know, like you, you're just, you work fast.
Right.
I also tell, but I, so I kind of mention that just to kind of test out the waters. The other thing I'll tell them when I make the case for fixed fee, besides the obvious things we've talked about, hey, it's, there's no risk. You just know what you're getting into. There's no surprises. I also tell them that I am not as creative and effective in an hourly situation because if something happens, I start freaking about it, about my time. And that becomes kind of an obsession because I don't want to disappoint the client, and then the work just is just not as strong.
Right.
You know, and I think anyone who's done any creative work for a living will understand that.
Right.
And I see this all the time. Writers in that situation will stop billing until they kind of get back on track. But it could be like 3 hours that went unbilled. Just they just didn't feel right about it.
Yeah.
So then you're shortchanging yourself that way.
Right. Yeah, I've just found by and large the hourly thing is problematic.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll try to stay away from it, I think is going to be my, if at all. Like you said, once in a while if it's, you know, in this case it was wonderful because it went on for 6 months and it gave me a foot into a really big door.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, in this case, yeah. And who knows where, if and where it goes. But, you know, either way, I was able to, you know, put this pretty substantial consulting job, you know, on my resume, my website, LinkedIn, I mean, all of it, you know, to be able to help them acquire a, you know, a $2 billion division in 50 countries. I mean, it's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's not, but this is not how I want to, you know, ultimately build my business that way.
Yeah. I'm with you.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Let's see. Deb, you're on.
Hey, how?
Hello.
I want to comment on what Cynthia's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, regarding billing hourly, is this billing hourly in the office where the other people are tracking your time, or is this billing hourly on our system?
Let me bring Cynthia back on. Was that a question? Were you wondering which one was it?
That's a question. Question.
So,
Cynthia, you're back on.
Say again, what was the question?
Regarding billing hourly. Is this billing hourly on site at the client's place of business? Or is it
I never am on site.
Okay, so it's basically on our system.
Correct, which is why I was just saying earlier, you know, you have a lot of integrity around this.
Right. And then
so I keep like a timesheet. And,
right.
You know, and when I'm working on stuff, I mark that down. And Ed's absolutely right. The big
yeah.
problem around that, because I have a lot of integrity, you become really time obsessed. Like, I don't know how lawyers
right.
do it. It must just drive them crazy. But, you know, I look at the clock and now we're starting. And then, you know, and then if I get interrupted with something, a call, I stop.
Right.
But sometimes I just do, you know, I know that I've worked all morning. I've just
right.
been, you know, doing this and that. I put down 3 hours, but this was all from my office. I think I went out to 2 meetings. I billed for those, but I was
okay.
never on site, and I have not. Other people may have, you know, jump in, but I have never worked on site as a freelancer
right.
or a consultant. I know some people do. I have never done that, so I can't really address that.
Well, the other thing I want to bring up is the flip side of billing hourly when the client just wants to be able to toss something to you on the fly and interrupt whatever you're doing for another client or whatever you're doing for self-promotion and marketing. Does the client really want to pay you hundreds of dollars an hour to be a line editor? Because, you know, the flip side of you're doing complex projects, you're charging low rate, you know, a professional rate instead of a newbie rate. And, I mean, just, you know, is the client willing just to, I'm just saying that it probably could all work out in the end. But.
See, for me, my time is my time.
Right.
And so I don't care. So,
right.
In this contract I just finished, I did some incredibly complex stuff, you know, where I was coordinating, you know, worldwide countries and on telephone calls and trying to pull together, you know, presentations and get them translated into 5 languages and, I mean, really complex stuff.
That is so cool.
And then I was doing, let's make sure that everybody gets water bottles.
Yeah.
That little stuff wasn't too much, but that's sometimes the whole consulting gig is that, you know, I don't ever view this as, well, that's just beneath me. This was the nature of the whole thing, this big complex stuff. But once in a while, I needed to edit somebody's bio.
Yes.
But for me, it's all the same rate of pay. And in this case, as we were talking before, it was worth it because it was part of this whole big project. But normally with a regular client, I just can't bill the same rate for huge complex things that take a lot of brain power and coordination and really call on my skill set, and then bill that the same thing as, you know, editing someone's email paragraph.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah, I know for me it does. Does that make sense, Deb?
Well, for me, it was just, I would just bring it because it sounds like this is an issue with the client you're thinking of taking. Am I correct?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of the clients just want to get the work done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like this guy was talking to, you know, he was so busy.
Right.
He just didn't want to be bothered with the minutia of all of this. So
right.
I mean, he understands it, but the explaining of, you know, big complex projects and I can't with the little, and he does, you know, he's like, I have 19 emails that have just dropped into my inbox in the 5 minutes we've had this conversation.
Yeah.
And I have to get back to work and go and do. And he just, you know, he just wants to get the work done. And I can understand that. He doesn't want to be involved in all the ins and outs, but you have to guard against that because I appreciate that he wants to get the work done, but it has to work for me and it has to be fair.
So it sounds like your good option is to walk away from this potential new client.
Yes.
Or just to have the, as we say in the South, have to come to Jesus with it.
Well, it is,
you know,
because we've talked a couple times, and it didn't, and here's the other thing about the hourly, and maybe, you know, Ed, you could talk about this too. There are only so many hours in a day.
Yeah.
So if I do 3 hourly clients, my day is sucked up and I can't make any more money. Even if they're paying me at a fairly decent rate of pay, you know, if they all need me 5 hours a day, I'm in trouble. And there's no opportunity for me to do bigger projects that pay more money because, you know, frankly, I'm not working 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so the hourly thing is a really big problem because of your finite time. Even just 2 clients who say, you know, I just need you maybe 3 or 4 hours a day hourly. Well, you have 2 of those. I mean, it may sound wonderful. Oh, good, I have steady money. But you'll get up every day and know from 8 to noon I'm totally committed to this. And from 1 to 5 I'm totally committed to that. And every day that's what it's you're going to toggle between the two. And I'm telling you, it will get old quickly.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you can't scale properly. I've heard a lot of arguments against that. They say, yeah, but you know what? If even at $100 an hour, if you can end up with 30 hours a week, you know, people do the math, and I said, yeah, you know what, that sounds great on paper, because, like, you know, that might turn out to be a six-figure income, but guess what? The math never works out that way.
That's right.
First of all.
And you never have a chance to prospect or grow your business because you're just sort of trapped in kind of this employee model.
You are.
Of you work,
you
and then you get paid.
Even when you have, let's say, four clients and they're all like that, it's still, the math never works out that way, because you will never have consistently, you will never have 52 weeks a year of 30-hour per week billable time.
That's
right. It just
right.
is not going to happen. Number one. Number two, and I know this might sound surprising to you guys, but you will get here. There'll come a point in your freelance business, not too far from now, when you'll want to tell yourself, I won't do anything for less than $200, $250 an hour. Not that I'm quoting by the hour, but when I figure it out, my internal rate needs to be at least a $250. I know that's what I do. I will not – I mean, what do you think I mentioned that my minimum is $250 even for a small thing? That's what I shoot for. And, in fact, that's my average. There are many projects where I'm looking for an angle. I'm looking for a way where I can actually be more like a $300, $400 an hour, believe it or not.
Right.
I know that sounds outrageous, but if you do it the right way, it will be a win for the client. They'll be happy, you know, as they could be. And you'll walk away with, you know, you do the math and you'll, man, $250, $300 an hour. That, and you will get there. And it's a great place to be. But there's absolutely no way you can do that if you're charging by the hour. Nobody's going to say yes to $250 an hour.
Right.
So, yeah, it's good stuff, guys. I'm glad you brought this up, because this is a recurring challenge out there.
Yes, it is. And it's, you just have to get a feel for it. It can be really challenging to, you know, because you want to be fair on both sides.
Yeah.
But if you're not careful, it will be less fair for you. And then once you get locked into that, because I've done it over my career a couple times, I've gotten locked into stuff where I knew it wasn't quite fair to me. And here's what happens then. You start to build resentment.
Yeah.
And as the weeks and months go on, that resentment grows until the point where you don't really want to work for them anymore, because you just don't feel it's fair.
Well, we'll talk more about pricing here in the next session. So I'll give you, based on what the discussion from this week's session and then the continuation the next week, then I'll give you a framework that you can use to make smart pricing decisions, which is another source of stress. Not in terms of the model, but how do you arrive at your fee?
Okay.
All right. So good stuff. Let's see. I don't see any other raised hands. So, again, if you have a question, star 2 raises your hand. Hey, Cynthia.
Just real quick, thank you so much. I think that this was a really great call, and I appreciate all of your feedback today, Ed, and your advice and your counsel. And I'm feeling stronger about going to my, you know, little soiree thing here this evening. But even over the hourly and all, I appreciate all of your input today.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks to Deb as well for jumping in.
Yeah.
This is an important discussion, and I love talking about it, because there's no – this is not like a black or white thing. I think at the end of the day, we all agree that the hourly is not going to be the best long-term approach. But I love thinking through and talking through how you start moving out of that, and how you can make it work well for you. So, great. Thanks for bringing it up.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember, so a colleague of mine, and this is, I had been in business, let's see, maybe a year already full-time. So at this point, I guess it had been about 4 years, And I mean, I was making decent money. I was working like a dog because, you know, when you start making that transition and you quit your day job, you'll take everything. You'll say yes to everything. Because a lot of it is based on fear. You know, you still wonder, if I say no to somebody, what happens if next month is really bad? So until you figure that out, you start saying, so I was making good money, but part of that was because I was working like a dog. But I remember talking to this colleague, and very experienced guy, that was doing really, really well. He'd been at it much longer than I have, maybe 12 years longer. And I told him how much I was charging for stuff. And he said, you know what, that's good. That's good. But, Ed, you should be earning much more than that. You should be commanding much more than that. I remember thinking, man, I'm really proud of these fees. I thought this was really high. It took me a lot. And I remember we got into this hourly discussion, and we both agreed, no, you don't want to price hourly. But when I asked him, I said, well, what do you shoot for an hour, like an internal hourly rate? He said, because for me it was about $100 at the time, $100 an hour. He said, Ed, you need to look at $150 and beyond. You need to start thinking that way. And I remember when he told me that, I thought he was off his rocker. I thought, oh, my God, there's just no way. I started to panic. And I thought, how? And it's funny, it didn't take too long. Once he planted that seed, yes, I panicked at first, but little by little, that became kind of my next target. And before I knew it, I was used to it. I was used to thinking about things in terms of, okay, I'm going to price this thing for $3,000, and because that's kind of what I think it's worth. And so let's temper it for time. How much time do I think it'll take me? And then I would figure it out. And then I would realize, okay, so that would mean I would probably average about $175 an hour. So that's about right. And I remember thinking, yes, this is good. And before I knew it, I was at that level. So it's funny how nothing had really changed. I was averaging about $100 an hour internally. Once he planted that seed, I started moving towards it. It became something that I just accepted. I didn't even freak out about it. And I just started moving in that direction. And before I knew it, it was just my norm. It's what I was shooting for. And shortly after that, I want to say a couple of years, I started just basing everything on about $250 or better. And the way my thinking was, well, I need to shoot for $250 because some projects I'm already kind of locked in with some clients where I already have kind of an agreed upon price. So with those, I'm going to be more like at $150. So that means in order to average $250, I'm going to have to take on new clients and new projects, but price them more aggressively so that my average hourly rate is more like $350. So I got some at $350, some at $300, some at $150, $175, and this is all averaging about $250. And I would do the math, and I tracked this for a while, and sure enough, I was hitting it no problem. Very little resistance, and frankly, the resistance I was getting was from prospects who just really weren't a good fit, which, again, sometimes you have to take. If you need it, you got to keep the lights on. But the more prospecting, the more strategic prospecting you do, the more freedom you have to accept and bring in the right kinds of clients who have no problem with your fees. So anyway, just something to keep in mind. And I want you guys to think big. Many of you are just getting really not relaunching, but many of you are just launching for the first time. So don't worry about that right now. I know this discussion might freak you out, but you will be here. Believe me, you will be here, and it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. So, guys, I don't see any more questions. So if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and wrap up. Again, we'll continue the discussion in next training. Oh, wait a minute. Deb had hand raised. Hey, Deb.
Hey. Sorry to come in right at the end here.
No, it's all right.
Do you use time tracking software, or do you just use a clock and, you know, log it daily?
You know, I was using time tracking software. I was using an application since then. It's gone away. I was on a PC at the time called TraxTime, T-R-A-X,
uh-huh.
Time. Some guy built it, and he stopped supporting it a couple years ago. And then I moved to a Mac, and since I've been on a Mac since 2009, at that point I just stopped tracking my time. But there are a lot of apps out there that make this very, very easy. And
okay.
I do recommend tracking. absolutely, especially when you're starting out, or if you need to get a better sense for your time, just because you need to have these records and you need to track your performance. It will give you good pricing intelligence. Like, if, for instance, if you're charging, let's say, $2,500 for a white paper, if you track your time for the first couple you do, then you have a really good sense of how long it's taking you, and you can temper that with, okay, well, how much am I charging? And maybe I need to start bringing my fees up because I just spent 45 hours on this last one, $2,000, just not going to be enough. You know?
Okay.
And then you can also figure out which clients, because you could also, with time tracking, allocate it to different clients and projects, and you can see which clients tend to be the more profitable ones. So a lot of benefits.
Okay, and then, Ed, so let's assume you're tracking your time. Within that, do you break down different tasks, like this much devoted to phone calls, this much devoted to independent research, this much devoted to meetings, or do you just do a lump sum start-finish track?
Yeah, it depends. So tracks time was not that sophisticated, and I actually preferred that at the time because all I wanted was just to get a net for the project. So it was like punching in and out. In fact, it was like a punch clock image.
Okay.
And if I started on project A, I went ahead and clocked in. When I was done to take a break, I clocked out, I took my break, and then I would come back to that project, clock in, clock out. But I didn't have it broken down by task. I would have liked, I would have liked to have had that because it would have given me a better idea of how much time did I spend on research, how much time did I spend in client calls related to the project, how much time on writing, editing, edits, et cetera.
And I know there are some situations where writers and designers charge a really high hourly fee for conceptual work.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, 500, and I'm sorry if there's background noise here, charge at least 500 an hour for conceptual work. And that's more of an internal pricing. So I'm just trying to get a handle on how you do it, or if you just kind of, you know, do your best knowing that everything works out in the end.
Yeah, I still, even then, I like to stay away from hourly work. It just scares people.
Right.
So what I'll do instead is I'll have like a package price, like for, let's say, conceptual work. I'll describe the scope of work. Hey, here's what I'm going to deliver you. Here's what we'll create. Here's the big benefit you're going to get out of this. And I'll give them a flat fee. So I spend more time scoping out the project, letting them know what the limitations are. That way they know when we would be out of scope. And so I do a better job of scoping out the project and then selling the value and then just giving them a flat fee.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. It's a great question because you're right. There are many firms that they'll do it that way. The problem is, as you can imagine, right, think about it. If you're a business owner, and you're thinking, I don't even pay my lawyer $500 an hour. You know? They're just going to compare you. It's the problem with that low unit of measure is it equalizes everything. It's like at the grocery store. Have you ever noticed the tags on the shelves for each product? They have the price, at least here they do. If you look carefully, it will show you, let's say it's a 16-ounce can of coffee. It will break it down how much per ounce. So because, right, all the coffee packages and cans are different. And so it just makes it too easy to compare, which for a consumer is great, but in a business-to-business situation, that's just one factor. You can't bring it down to a buy-the-drink level because they're not all the same drinks. So, yeah, does that make sense?
Perfect sense. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. Any more questions? Don't be afraid. It's all right. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. All right. Well, I don't see any other hands raised, so we'll just go ahead and wrap up. And again, guys, next week on Tuesday we'll continue the pricing discussion, and so that we'll actually get into the pricing discussion of the sales process, pricing, follow-up, and all that good stuff, presenting your fees. I'll go through my fee agreements with you, and some good stuff there I'll share with you guys. So we'll talk next week at our regular Q&A call, and, of course, we'll continue the discussion in the forum. Have a great rest of the day and a fun weekend. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.